Everybody, welcome to Section 314 Podcast. My name is Sam, and with me as always is Maggie, and today we have Landon Jackson with us, joining us for the podcast recently after his wedding. So congratulations to you, dude, on getting married. That's freaking awesome.
Hey, thank you. It was truly the best day of my life. I like to say before that it was the night the Blues won the cup. I was at the watch party in downtown when that happened, but no, it takes the cake over that. It was awesome, and now I got a great wife and another Blues fan in the house.
Absolutely, and today we have quite a lot to go over. You know, today's for Blues fans, it's going to be, you know, it's a therapy session. You know, it's just a slap of reality that we need to, you know, sit down, talk about, and address, and just hopefully we can kind of just get out of this rut together. And it's just been, you know, back and forth this season. And I don't know, I just to start off, I just think you look at all these games that, you know, my last podcast was January 20th that came out for this show. And, you know, I've been busy, you know, moving states. So that's why it's been kind of quiet. But, you know, we're back now. And I think the first thing that we need to talk about is the Blues need to address like a serious problem on defense. And it's covering like the back door. It's like someone is always open, and we still haven't done anything to fix it, really. Whether it's 5-on-5 play, whether we're on a penalty kill, what have you, it's like we can't cover it for nothing, and we got to do something about it. What do you think, Maggie?
It's just a broken record. It really is. I mean, it's the same. It's the same thing over and over again for the Blues. I woke up to a text this morning from my uncle saying, typical Blues loss last night when the Blues lost with like 12 seconds left. I mean, I didn't see the play. I was asleep, but I rewatched it today and I was just like, yeah, I mean, that's how they would go out and they lose. But I mean, it does seem like they are having a lot of issues with that back door. Also, they just keep moving these lines around so much. I don't think people are getting the repetition they need. And I also don't know that they're actually playing the right defenders with the right defenders.
And at the same time, it's like we're constantly switching up the lines. So it's like, where can you find that chemistry and consistency to build something good when you keep switching it around? I mean, right, Landon? Like, I mean,
yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, the biggest issue with this team, you know, occasionally you got the nights where they don't score more than one or two goals, but the defense has just been atrocious. And I've realized that I feel like they do. I'm no statistical analysis here, but I mean, the last couple nights against, granted, you're playing the Oilers and the Panthers, like two good offenses, but we're 10 minutes into the game and the other team has 13, 14 shots on goal, and Binnington and Hofer just kind of put behind the eight ball there. And the defense got better throughout the game. But like you guys said, the line shifting, and honestly, I think Parenko has had a really good year and he's been the lone bright spot on defense. But a lot of his highlights or things that come to mind are bright spots of his season have been offensively. It's not even on the defensive side. And I think it's just a lack of toughness, grit, whatever you want to call it, down low, like you said, where, you know, other teams are getting into the crease, cross crease passes are there, and nobody's stepping up in front of it and doing anything to guard it defensively. And it's just, it looks like a lack of effort from my vantage point there.
Yeah, it's like these players, like they do well with covering like that, you know, that small, you know, 2x2x2, whatever, like, area that they need to cover, like, on defense or especially, like, on a penalty kill. But teams are finding ways to just kind of move quickly when they're off the puck and kind of create space that, you know, we're just not kind of thinking ahead on. And then we're just two steps behind with them, like, making sure we cover that open space that they can get to. And they're just finding ways to move that puck quickly and get to the open space and just kind of create something out of nothing. And honestly, we really haven't done anything to to try and like fight it off. And so what I'm saying, and kind of to bounce off what you said from Pareko, like on the opposite side of that, it just seems like, so like last year, okay, well, to start off, like Buchnevich and Thomas, like they've clearly had like an off season, you know? So it's like, do we get rid of Buch or anything? Like, I feel like we can keep Thomas, maybe, in my opinion, but it's like, do we get rid of Buch, or it's like, can he maybe like next season, can he like have a come? Do you think he can like have the potential to have a comeback season next year or something, like kind of like Kyrer has? Like, you know, he was off last year, and this year he's really stepping up to the plate. Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I like, I go. Yeah. You got it.
Well, kind of like with that, kind of the defense stuff, I kind of want to go back to two things. I feel like Broberg hasn't been the best since he was injured and out for a long time. I feel like I don't really see him, like before they were always just like saying his name and what, and he was making all these plays and stuff like that. So I don't know what's going on with that. And then I also wanted to bring up Nick Leddy coming back after missing 48 games because of like a nerve issue. I thought that was pretty interesting. He's not my favorite at all. So I think it's just been interesting watching the defense and them putting random lines together and, you know, not letting them play together all the time. Like, I swear every night is a different lineup for defense. I mean, and forwards, really. The only consistent line is the WTF line, literally.
Yeah.
It's the same line every night. So, I just don't know. If you're not getting repetition, I feel like you're not really going to go anywhere. And I really like that Holloway, Shea, and Kyrie line. I feel like they should be playing. That line needs to stick together. Even if they're having like an off night, that, I mean, basically just pushes you to get better, play better, and know who you're playing with each night. So I'd like to see that. On the trade stuff, I don't really know how I'm feeling, because today a lot of stuff came out about certain players, and I don't know how I'm feeling yet, so we'll have to come back to that.
Yeah.
And then, Landon, what was your take on, like, Buchnevich and, like, his off year and stuff like that, and maybe even Thomas as well? Like, what were your thoughts along that?
Yeah. First, I wanted to add to Maggie here. I totally forgot about Nick Leddy. I'm glad you brought that up. I thought he looked great last night when you said that. And then I pulled up the box score here, and he was a -1. Again, that's against Florida. But he had the most shots at 3. He had almost 18 and a half minutes at the time on ice. Like, he had a good game, in my opinion, watching it last night. Yeah. So it'll be telling, like, you know, tomorrow against the Blackhawks, if the defense looks good after playing Florida and the Oilers. I mean, again, that's a tall task to ask, but they definitely need to come out and give up, you know, 2 goals max against Chicago tomorrow. But to Thomas and Buchnevich, like, I'm not ready to move on from Buch by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I think he's a great player. This year, obviously, not at all. Like, he's got to figure something out. You never know, like, this time of year, especially when you got a team that's, 8 points out of a wild card spot right now. Like, the motivation factor's low. Obviously, the team needs a leader, to the trade point that we're going to talk about later. Like, leader might be traded with Braden Schenn, but, and you never know, like, he could be battling injury, something like that. I'm not ready to get on from Buch. Thomas, I really am kind of disappointed with lately. Like, he got snubbed out of the Four Nations, and if you think back to those couple games after, he looked phenomenal, and he did play all right last night. Obviously, the Oilers game, he missed the wide open net, and, you know, everybody's talking about his body language and all those issues. They look terrible, but he's got to earn his money and that big 8-year contract. At some point, he's got to be better than what he is now, and he's got to lead this team and do more than just assist to Kyrou or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, his body language has, honestly, like, I've noticed that in the last couple of years. I'm like, anytime he's like shooting miss, he always throws his head back and is like pissed, and I'm like, man, you're a professional. You can't show people that. Like, people are going to get in your head. Your other team is going to literally probably try and fight you because you're acting like a baby. I get that you're frustrated, but like,
And you saw
who
Mr.
was it the
Open
other
Net
night?
against the Oilers. He literally throws his head back and then fell to the ground. Like, and it's 3-on-3 in overtime. Like, you got to get back on defense. If you miss the net, the other team gets the puck. And yeah, he's
Yeah.
got to figure that out.
He's not acting like
And
an alternative.
who was it the other night that got held? And then, like, I think it was in overtime where he got held and he went to go complain to the ref. But like that, him going to complain to the ref kind of almost led to a goal by Draisaitl because he like didn't just like focus on that. Was that Thomas?
Yes, it was. It was like right at center ice, and granted, in his defense there, that was a penalty every day of the week. I think it was just one of those that it's not egregious, so they don't call it an overtime. But yeah, you can't be doing that, especially when you got a letter on your jersey and you've been given an 8-year contract by this team. Like, and it's more to the point where you got to have guys in the locker room that pull him aside. Like, I was listening to 101 ESPN, and Jamie Rivers was talking about it, where he's like, I did this my first month in the league, and then I got told that this isn't how we operate, and I never did it again. Like, he's got to be held accountable by the guys in the room, but that's hard to do when you're the highest played player on the team and you're an assistant captain. Like, he's got to earn that, in my opinion. And to the point where you were talking about moving on from him, like, no team is going to want that, especially if they got to commit to a bunch of years with him. So
I
he's got
think
to
the
figure
same
it out.
with Buchnevich too. Like, he's got what, 6 years on the contract, I think. And people were like, with what he how he's playing now, no one's gonna want to pick that up. I mean,
I
kind of
know. I
like a
mean, it's like,
Saad thing
and
too,
it's like
'cause he
it.
was gonna get like 5 million.
And it's like, if you don't want to be, if you're so like what it seems like, obviously, like, we're in our rebuilding years, but if you don't want to be here or you're showing that you don't want to be here, or at least that's what we see, it's like you gotta step it up if you want to kind of, update your re make your resume look good. If you want to get your numbers up, if you want to, show other teams like, hey, like, I'm worth the money. I'm worth, a contract, stuff like that. So if you're just kind of doing what you're just kind of lollygagging. Holy cow, lollygagging around, it's just, if you want to get off this team, or you act like you don't want to be here, you just, I don't know, piss poor attitude, whatever. It's like, we get it, but it's like, you also got to kind of step it up if you want to show other te if you want to look good for other teams. But and now potentially Shen, is in that boat too. So it's like, with the rumors going on, who knows? Anything's kind of up for grabs at this point with this team.
I'm very annoyed about the Blues naming a captain and then trading them also. And like, I know there's teams that don't even have captains still. Like, they'll always post that randomly through the season. And it'll be like list of captains of teams and then some that are like don't have them. If they get rid of Shen, I like Shen, and I feel like Shen had a very slow start to the season, but he's been kind of finding his way now, putting goals in the back of the net. Like, he's been
I think he
very
needs to be on
good. Like,
everybody's ass right now.
I would say like his resume is pretty good if he was going to get traded like right at this moment. But I hate when the Blues do that. They literally name Ryan O'Reilly and then traded him. And then, like, right away, named Shen and possible trade. So, I mean, today's the first day that I've even seen anything about Shen being a possible trade. And then I saw Kyrou.
It got hot today with Shen, so it's possible, but I got a lot of opinions for it. I'd like to hear your thoughts, Sam, but I got a lot of opinions on the Shen trade.
And I'm not an X's and O's guy. I'm a motivator, but I mean, I like Shen. I like him as a guy. I like him as, as our captain. And I just think he needs, to grow a sack and, put these guys in line and say, like, this is how it's going to be. Or, it's like, it's not going to work here, or you're going to be benched. That's kind of the mindset I need to have. Like, I need the anger from, I need like in the locker room right now, I need the anger from like John Tortorella kind of angry. Like, that's what I
I'm
need in
going
the
to say
locker room right now for
torch.
this. Yeah, that's what I need right now in the locker room. It's like that type of anger with these players. Like I need them to be kicked in the ass. I need them to do bag skates at 6 a.m. at Centene, stuff like that. Get this team in order. Like I get like these are like rebuilding years and stuff like that. But you gotta if you're getting paid the amount of money you are and you got letters on your chest, like you gotta act. You gotta act your wage and stuff like that.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I liked what you said there with the I'm not an X's and O's guy, I'm a motivator, and that's strictly what you want out of a captain. Like, there's cases, the Oilers with McDavid, like you got a captain that's a best player, but at the end of the day, you want a captain that's going to lead the team and be successful with the team. I agree with the whole maybe we shouldn't have named Shen a captain at all, but he, in my opinion, this trade is a win-win either way. Like, he's got a full no trade clause, so he's gonna have to accept it. It's modified come July 1st, but it would free up 6.5 million, and kind of like what we're talking about here, the Blues are in rebuilding years, and at the end of the day, with 3 years left on the contract, do you want a 33, 34, 35-year-old Shen when you got Snuggerud, Dvorsky, like those guys coming up? Like, we're not probably going to win now. And then I've seen a lot of talks with Toronto being the top team that's interested in him, which makes sense with Berube. He knows the guy, kind of guy he is, and
Yeah, for sure.
they are a cup contender, and they don't really have the guy that can drop the mitts and stick up for people. I mean, they took the last player from the Blues that did that, and O'Reilly. They don't have him anymore, and Shin could be that guy for them. But at the end of the day, if the Blues keep him, I'm still going to be happy. Nobody is tougher than Braden Shin. Like, he's everything you want in a hockey player. To his credit, he's probably been one of the best Blues this season. But like I said, it's just one of those things that do we realistically think the Blues can win now, or should we just offload the contract and build for the future sort of thing? That's kind of where I'm at on it.
Which would you rather have? Like a playoff push or like a let's just kind of mix things around for now and just kind of set back and see what works and then go hard next year.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm ready now. I mean, any Blues fan thinks about 2019, and this is about the time of year that they turned it around, and we're only 8 points out of a wild card race right now, and anything can happen in the NHL playoffs. And if you're going to make the NHL playoffs, you want guys like Braden Shen on your team and goalies like Jordan Binnington in your net. But yeah, in my opinion, it's a win-win. I'm going to be content either way. Normally, I'm very opinionated on these kind of things, so it feels weird not having a strong opinion either way. But I am very intrigued, and keep refreshing Twitter to see what's new news on it.
Yeah, so it's yeah, so we got like so we got one more game tomorrow night, or like if you're listening, the day of this podcast is released, we got the Blackhawks tonight at home, last home game. And then you got the Four Nations break, the quote unquote All-Star break, which even though there's not an All-Star this year, it's the Four Nations tournament. So it's like 2 weeks off for the boys, maybe a huge reset right there to kind of get your ducks in a row after, two losses in a row at home. I mean, they're both teams we lost to. I mean, they're good teams. But you gotta if you want to get things right, get a slap the Blackhawks around, get a win, and then get a nice 2 week break where you'll have another 3 game homestead when you come back, with two of them being division opponents and all three of them being Western Conference teams at home. So and then from there, it's just a big uphill battle of tons of games in March, and then the last few weeks in April, and then that's your season. So and the trade deadline I believe is March 7th. So it's like you only got so much time to kind of get your ducks in a row to see what you want for the rest of the season. And that's kind of like the time for Army to say, hey, we're going for the playoffs, or hey, we're kind of sitting back and making sure we do things right so that next season we're, going hard for the playoffs.
It's so weird though, like Army is just like so undecisive. Like, they were like, when they traded Saad, or Saad was on waivers and then went to Vegas, they were like, we don't have any plan to bring anybody up to like replace him. And then they bring Mackenzie McEachran up yesterday and then send him back down today.
immediately sent him right back down. I thought that was so weird. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, like, and it's like, it just goes back to what we just said earlier. You know, it's like, you know, moving things around, moving these lines around all the time. It's just like, I think that's a big factor with like why this chemistry isn't so great and why people aren't clicking or, you know, getting to be the potential that they need to be for, you know, for things to work for them. It's just because you keep switching things up every once in a while. Just because something doesn't work, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's like you're moving things around too much, maybe, Army. I don't know. It's just something's not right.
I think also the big trade that it's not really a big, but it's big to me because I never thought that the Blues would ever move on from Scott Perunovich. I like Scott Perunovich, but the fact that he's been in the league for like 3 years now and just scored his first NHL goal this season, it's rough. I do feel bad though, because you know he's very close with the Blues, has always been with the Blues, like all his friends are here and stuff. But I am wishing and hoping that he has more success in New York, and it looks like he is. Like, I kind of looked in on it, and he's been playing like 20 minutes a night on the top line for defense, which, and the Islanders have been winning recently. So, I mean, he must be doing something good there. He's in the lineup at least. I just never thought that the Blues would ever move on from him. The two that I didn't think the Blues would move on was Perunovich, and the other one is Nikita Alexandrov, who's in Springfield. That guy's had so many chances to break through into the NHL, and I don't know that the Blues are the right team for that.
You know, this is why we talk about these things. You know, it's like, you know, Blues fans listening to this, you know, and once you listen to this, you know, share this with our Blues fans that, you know, they're just as confused about this season. You know, the bottom line is, you know, we can sit here and, you know, go back and forth all night, but it's like the bottom line is like this team isn't that great. Like, I get it. Like, we want to be successful. Blues fans want to see this team be successful, and we want to see some heart on the ice. We want to see some effort on the ice. But the truth is, you know, these are just kind of, sometimes it's like, these are just what rebuilding years look like. You know, it's like, what, that's just the business of what it is. But at the end of the day, it's like back to what you said, Maggie. It's like, you also kind of got to be business smart about it. And like, if people aren't, you know, breaking through and kind of making some of themselves, it's like, you just kind of, you got to pull the trigger, you know, make sure you do it right. You know, whether it's like moving on from players that, you know, aren't, you know, showing their potential, or that's just the business. So you can't be indecisive about it, which seems to be kind of what Army is like these last like few years. He's just kind of indecisive about things.
The only thing that he has really been right about is re-signing Nathan Walker every year. That absolutely is literally the heart and soul of the Blues. That guy, I think he honestly deserves to have an A on his
actually
jersey.
Isn't today his birthday? Or
I think so, actually.
Yeah, I saw that.
Happy birthday, Walks. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely become one of my favorite players to watch. He literally goes out every night that he's playing, and you know that he's out there.
And besides Shen, like, he can be a good physical player too.
Oh yeah, he loves to fight, and I've seen a couple of his fights in person last season. But that's a guy who earns his contract every day. So I've gone to a Blues practice before, and there was like nobody there, and that guy was busting his ass the whole time. And then you just see other guys just kind of moseying around, you know. But I mean, he wants to be there, and he earns a spot. So I just wish more guys kind of like looked after him in that way. Especially this guy's like the smallest guy on the ice, and he's fighting, he's putting pucks in the net, he's busting his ass. So I just wish people could take note of how he's playing.
And the bright side is, like, you know, for Blues fans, you know, for some closure here, you know, again, this is, you know, this episode's a therapy session. The bright side is, like, look at the Cardinals. They've signed maybe like one player this offseason. And meanwhile, Arenado is also today. Yeah. And meanwhile, Arenado is potentially going to the Red Sox. And then after that, it's like, what does your younger talent really look like? You know, guys on the team, guys down in Memphis. Now come back and look at the Blues. Like, right now they're like, what, like 8 points off from a playoff spot, something like that, less than 10 points from a playoff spot. You know, they're mid team. We know this. But they have guys, you know, down below, like Jimmy Snuggerud, Otto Stenberg, Dalibor Dvorsky, and other younger players where you know. And then you got a new GM coming in with that's a few, you know, a past player that you know is the whole city loves and can rally behind. And he's going to come up in the next few years, and he's going to rally this team around and, you know, make something up, make something for us.
I love that point because, yeah, it's exactly right. The Cardinals, there's no sign of hope in the future whatsoever. The Blues, there is. It's basically, and I think the Shin deal will be a lot of the front office telling us what they think. You know, if they trade Shin, it's basically them conceding their hand and telling us that we're going for 2-3 years from now. We don't think we
can. Yeah, we're folding, yeah.
Yeah. It's them folding their hand. Exactly. You're exactly right. And then if we keep Shin, it's them thinking like, hey, we got a small chance to make something special here. We can still build the future. And because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you trade Shin, all you're doing is offloading his contract. Like I've seen names like Marner and Nyes from the Leafs, and those guys are free agents that are going to get a bag next season, and the Blues aren't going to sign them. Like they'd be fun to watch for a couple months because they'd be playing for a max deal next season somewhere else. But it would just be to get rid of Shin's contract. And I don't know. I'm also interested to watch this Four Nations deal. I know the only Blues players are Parrico and Binnington, but I think it'll be cool to see Binnington get to play in some competitive, like really meaningful games again, because he hasn't had that in St. Louis lately. And I just think he is a phenomenal goalie, you know, and I think that
I just
that might lock him
in. I hope he
the rest of the season.
I hope he can. I hope Binnington and Hofer can also, because, like, you know, they've been two great players for the Blues, kind of keeping us in a lot of games. And of course, there's every once in a while you get those weird goals where you're like, okay, you could have saved that. But like for the most part, both of them have been just kind of been back and forth on fire, standing on their heads night after night. And I kind of hope in the back of their heads they're like, you know what, just get through these rough like one or two seasons, and then maybe like in the third season from here, like, we, you know, if I stick it out and stay here in St. Louis, we can bounce right back and, you know, and win a cup again. I hope that's what's going through their mind.
Yeah, and a lot of it too, I think, is kind of dependent on the fan base and accepting that it might be a couple years, you know. And the Cardinals, I'm a huge Cardinals fan too, and we went through that, you know, with Mike Schilt and even the early hiring of Ollie Marmol. And it's been 3 years since the Cardinals did anything good. And now the fans are starting to go away from the Cardinals. You know, Blues fans, I feel like, are still pretty good. I'm going to be in Enterprise in a couple weeks, and I hope that they show up after the break. But I think that goes a long way with these type of players that get to the second half of their career and they're thinking about winning cups and what they want the end of their career. That's a big part as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we got like 20 something games, like 27, 28 games left in the season. It's just going to be a long, long few months of just, I guess, mediocre hockey. I mean, if we're in February and we're still doing this stuff, you know, I mean, but like you said, Landon, like this is kind of around the time back in 2019 where we turned things around, went for a cup run, but it's just, I don't know if that's there with this team right now. Maybe something clicks, you know, in that 2 week break coming up after the Blackhawks game, but we'll see. You know, I just keep telling myself, you know, just be patient for the next few years, and, you know, hopefully we can go for a cup run, you know, soon here. And then even then, like, even at the end of the season, if, like, the season's shot, like, you know, bring some of those young guys up, you know, that down in Springfield or whatever, get them some games in, you know, start building that chemistry with the older players, kind of just switching at that point. Like, if the season's shot, like, you know, just try stuff out, bring them up, get them that experience and that playing time to see what it's like playing in the NHL, and kind of start something, kind of start getting ahead for next year, maybe. I don't know. Got to do something.
I think also the problem is that after the Blues won the Stanley Cup, obviously, like, more and more people became fans, but I feel like the Blues definitely had that big of a fan base before they won. I think the thing is that Army needs to be honest with these fans. Like, he keeps going back and forth saying, oh, this is just a retool. This is a rebuild. Oh, we're going to retool. Rebuild. Like, every day it is different. And I feel like He's just got to pick one or the other. Like, I think it really just goes on like how well the Blues are playing at the moment. Like, I don't know if like right now, like a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how the Blues were like 2 points out of a wild card spot, and now we're what, eight? We literally have shit the bed, and like at this point, I don't think we'll go to the playoffs. If you asked me a month ago, yes, but like, I feel like as the fans, we need the organization to be honest with us. Yes, people are still going to go to the games. If the Blues kept losing, I would still go to the game. I love the Blues. I like going. The atmosphere is fun. Whatever.
Go to Cardinals games.
No comment about the Cardinals at
Yeah,
all.
I mean, to your point, like at the end of the day, they're 3-6-1 in the last 10 games and have kind of just shit the bed. And I mean, just looking at the February schedule, they beat Utah.
It's swamped with away games.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Utah to start the month. They get it what should be an easy game tomorrow against the Blackhawks, but then when you come back from the break,
He said away games.
you got the
No,
Jets.
I'm talking about for March.
I was like, February is like all home.
But I mean, it's going to be a big test right out of the gate, and I kind of like that, getting to play the Jets, the Avs, the Kraken, and the Caps before March, and then, like you said, the trade deadline's right at the beginning of March, and so we'll know quick after this Four Nations break.
Yeah, now that I'm here in Houston, we play the Stars at the very beginning of March. So I'm going to be requesting to get that day off so I can drive up to Dallas for that game.
Even better, it's a Sunday. There you go.
Yes, please.
Yeah. That would
Yes.
be cool. Although I don't want to get too political here, but I think that's my least favorite fan base out of any fan base is the Stars.
Dude, I don't know. For like the last 3 years, I've been going to Blues games in Colorado at for like the Blues and Avs, and oh my gosh, it's rough there. The
Yeah.
ignorance and just the amount of douchebags you come across, it's terrible. Like I'm for like like a little chirping here and there, but like they're just obnoxious about it. And it's just, I was at the game like last year or whatever, where we won 8-2 in Colorado. Oh my God, that was heavenly. Oh, it was so beautiful with all the Blues fans there in Colorado. It was so beautiful watching us whip the shit out of Colorado in their own barn. That was so much fun. But hopefully I can do it again next month in Dallas.
Yeah.
I went to the Florida Panthers game in December versus the Blues, and I was like the only Blues fan there, and the fans were awful because I was wearing a Blues jersey.
Florida was really.
Yeah.
I figured they'd just be riding the high of the cup, and I would imagine there are a lot of bandwagon fans down there. I wouldn't expect
Oh,
them to be mean.
you already know my mouth was going, especially I'm like, when did you guys become a team? 2024? Okay, cool. That's what I
Yeah.
thought.
Is there
Or
a tag
establish a fan
on
base.
that jersey?
Literally, it was. I mean, like the stadium is cool. You know, they won their Stanley Cup. They did their upgrades to their stadium and whatnot. But the fans were just so obnoxious. Like the big hit on Neighbors from Bennett that night. They were like, people behind me were like, oh, he's gonna cry like a little baby, like yelling this stuff. And I'm like, I've never heard people talk like this at a hockey game.
People don't know hockey.
Speaking of
Also,
that, I loved seeing, this is recorded after the Panthers game in St. Louis. I love seeing Neighbors line up to take the opening face off and drop the mitts, like, because he did not want to do that. Like, that's a tall ask, and he took his licks, and he even kind of hurt the back of his head falling down and hit the ice. But I loved seeing that. I thought that it might lead to a better game and maybe a win, but at the end of the day, playing the Oilers and the Panthers that close, the Blues deserved more than 1 point going into overtime, and then a loss
yeah.
for 11 seconds. Like, they were close to getting 3 or 4 points in those two games, and we'd be having a whole different conversation.
Okay, so if you look at March's schedule, it's so weird. We play like in a span of like 10 days, we play the Kings three times. And then the same thing with the and then we play the Ducks twice in March,
In
and then we play the
Nashville.
Predators three times in like 10 days as well at the end of the month. It's just, this schedule is so weird.
Nashville is the team that is definitely surprising me this season and not in a good
For
way
yeah, all the
because
money they've spent, all the players they got, yeah.
literally when I was watching the trade deadline, I was just like, holy shit, Nashville's signing everybody. They're literally signing everybody. So, I mean, they're gonna have a great season and they have not really done shit this season.
They are diddly poo.
I mean,
Yeah.
Saros is has been good. He's got like a .900 save percentage. I know he's got a couple shutouts. Like, he kind of reminds me a lot of Bennington. He's got to stand on his head for them to win a game. Like, I've
I'm definitely
fell victim to
frozen right
betting on
now.
the Predators a lot this year, and they've been surprisingly bad.
They have. It's been interesting, that's for sure. I just was looking at the standings and I don't know about you guys, but I've kind of been like keeping on the Ovechkin goal chase to Gretzky, which is just fucking crazy because that guy is freaking old and literally just like putting up all these goals against these teams. I mean, like, I know some of them have been empty nets, but like, I was watching the game last night for a little bit and they said like the goal that he had, no chance in hell that he would ever like try and do that. So it was just kind of a lucky thing. But Capitals are first in the NHL, which is absolutely mind blowing right now.
Yeah, I
They
mean,
are.
before the Panthers came to town, the Caps beat them like 6-3, and that was the night Ovechkin had the really cool empty netter with 0.1 seconds left. And I honestly, going into this season, didn't think there was a snowball's chance in hell he would get the record. But now I'm starting to think, I mean, what's he got, 16, 15 left that he needs?
Yeah. And
Yeah,
he's
he's
out for
right
like a
there.
whole month because he fractured his kneecap and now he's like literally back, like he scored in the last 5 games. It's nuts just to see that. I've been watching that a lot. I've also been watching the Maple Leafs a lot because I do enjoy watching Austin Matthews. I don't care what people say about him, but I like him. And I'm a big Chief fan, so I love seeing Berube behind the bench. As much as I hated seeing him go, you know, I
Yeah.
still will watch just to see Berube.
I watch a ton of Leafs games for the same point, like Matthews, Marner, McMahon, like those guys are so fun to watch, and then the Berube factor. And then I find myself doing the same thing with the Blackhawks, just to listen to Panger announce the games, and then Bedard, like, he's not to a superstar level yet, but some of the stuff he does is just absolutely ridiculous. Like, it's so fun to watch. Like, I think the NHL as a whole is just amazing, like appointment television every night. It's in such a good spot, and there's so many guys that are just incredible players.
That's kind of how I am with like the NFL. I'm not really a big football fan. I did not grow up on it. I grew up on Cardinal baseball, and I live with a Bears fan and a Chiefs fan, and then our good friends just left for Philly tonight. We're watching their dog this weekend because they're going back to Philly to watch the Super Bowl, so they're big Eagles fans. So I'm more of just like I follow the players more of NFL. I don't have a team, but I also kind of feel that way in the NHL. Like the Blues are my team, but I also love watching Austin Matthews play, Connor McDavid. Like right now is a special time in hockey for sure. And you know, Bedard, even though they're kind of hounding on Bedard right now, and I've been seeing that. But you know, second season in the NHL, I can't wait to see what he does. So, and that's coming from a Blues fan talking about a Blackhawks player.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we want the Blackhawks to be good, just slightly worse than the Blues. Like, the rivalry is
Right. Just
not what it used to be.
yeah.
that's like one of like the few things we can take away from like this season is like we've got to see a lot of like prospects at the like 9 Blues prospects at the World Juniors tournament that, lit it up, played well. Shows a lot of potential for our team in the next handful of years or whatever. And then we also had the Winter Classic in Chicago or he beat the crap out of the Blackhawks, which is always great. And then we got the Blackhawks again coming up, and that should be a lot of fun. And we got them again at home in late March. So, it's just at the end of the day, it's just trying to take the positives. That's a lot saying from me, because like if you've been following me for years and on Twitter and stuff like that, like I used to like rage quit online and whatever, but it's like as I get older and more mature and stuff like that, I'm trying to like just embrace the game and look at the positives, and just especially like with knowing what's going on like behind the scenes for our future, that's building for our future. You can kind of say to yourself, all right, it's going to be okay. Just drink a beer and move on.
Yeah, I like that. And if you got any notes on staying positive and not tweeting rage tweets, you can send them my way, because I'm just...
It's hard.
Sometimes it is more fun to be negative, it's like an acceptance factor for me. But yeah, I'd much rather see them be good. I would love to see the Blackhawks and Blues rivalry go back to what it used to be.
Those 2013, 2014 years? Oh my gosh. Talk about high anxiety in the playoffs.
Yeah, actually, at the end of the day, I don't know if I want that kind of pressure, but it is cool.
Do we have anything else before we get out of here, Maggie, Landon?
Who are you guys rooting for the Super Bowl?
I'll let you go first.
Yeah, Maggie, that's all you.
It's an Eagles household this weekend. I'm going with the Eagles. I'm tired of the freaking Chiefs. I'll be the same person that says everything, but the Chiefs started being good when the St. Louis Rams got moved to LA, and then everybody was so pissed about the Rams leaving, and then they were pissed because the Chiefs were being good, and then kept going back to the Super Bowl and everything. They won, they lost, they won, they won. And now everybody in St. Louis is a Chiefs fan, and I can't stand it.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, because I was kind of scared. I don't know if I'd piss some people off, but nothing worse than somebody in St. Louis being a Chiefs fan. I live in Kansas City now, so I'm around all the Chiefs fans. They're pretty obnoxious. I mean, Philly fans are Philly fans. That's a different category, but... I don't know who I'm going to root for. Like, I haven't had a fandom since the Rams left. It'll just be whoever I bet on, probably. I think the Eagles are the better team, but it's tough to go against Patrick Mahomes. Like, that'd be incredible.
And his 7 bodyguards that are dressed up as zebras.
And fun fact, Indianapolis is closer to St. Louis than Kansas City, so exactly. Do with that what you will.
Exactly. And the stadium is indoor and beautiful. Like, one of my best friends is a Colts fan, and I went to a game with him just to go to a game. And, yeah, like, I live here in KC, and I've been to a couple Chiefs games just to watch football. But, gosh, there's no way I could support a team enough after the Rams left to go sit outside in the February Midwest weather, you know?
I'd rather go to a Mizzou game. And...
Mm-hmm.
And the Colts mascot was doing some very interesting hip thrusting. I think I posted a video on Instagram, and I was like, what the hell is he doing? And then there's a video of Chase and Burrow were like, what the hell is he doing? He's like, what the hell, man? What are you doing? He was crazy. That was fun, though. I've never been to the Pro Bowl. It was very packed and warm, and it was very hot, actually. It was fun, though. It was cool to see, players kind of relax and, get to play get to do what they love, but, not in a competitive area. So, I'm going for the Eagles. I bet on the Eagles. So.
Me too. I'm going Eagles on this one.
Hey, I haven't placed a bet yet, so I guess I gotta ride with you guys, and I'll bet with the Eagles.
I definitely made my bets last weekend.
You got a better line than the current number. It's almost down to a pick 'em.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. Betting is in Missouri now.
There's nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
I've got nothing. Side of KC to play some. I know they have till December, but surely it'll be in Missouri by next football season.
I in Florida, it's Hard Rock. So I just went back to Illinois around New Year's to do Christmas with my family. And Hard Rock had expanded to Illinois. At that, like a point, like last summer or beginning of football, Hard Rock wasn't in Illinois. So my friend was visiting her family in Chicago, and she's like, "Oh my God, you gotta log into my Hard Rock bets, make my bets, because I can't do it in Illinois." I'm like, "Okay, gotcha." She's the same person who won like 15K on the opening weekend of football.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah, that was a good day. That was a good day.
But I think that'll pretty much do it. We got our therapy session in. We had Landon on the pod. We talked, we got Blues and Blackhawks, and then now we got, the Super Bowl coming up. These are tough times as Blues fans, but we will prevail and we will move on. And we will rally around Alexander Steen, and we'll play good hockey. But thank you again, Leanna, for joining us. We appreciate it. It's perfect timing getting back from the wedding and stuff like that. So congratulations once again.
Hey, I
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
you so much, and congratulations. I was creeping your Twitter the other day, and I was like, "Oh, okay, Landon's definitely like on the beach right now, but that's cool." Even though I live by the beach, but still, like his is more fun.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. And yeah, it was great, great honeymoon. Happy to be back and go Blues tomorrow, and good luck to Bennington and Perico and then the Four Nations.
Yeah, man, one last game and we're off. Two off for like 2 weeks. So sorry again for the long delay, but life happens and you gotta handle your biz. Thank you again for all for listening, and don't hesitate to stop by again to eat, relax, and take a load off of life. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see y'all very soon. Section 314, your favorite online tailgate.